Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 119 of Geek Town Radio. This week I have with me Matt.
Hi David, how are you?
Doing? I'm all right, how are you?
I'm good, yeah, I've had a better week this week. So
good, good.
Apart from the scorching hot weather.
Yes, so. Melting in the heat at the moment. Yeah, this is when being in a room with two computers that are on most of the time is not good because it's like roasting in here. So yes, what have you been up to the last few weeks?
So this weekend just gone and I finished Watch Dogs 2, which is the sort of hacking GTA game, I guess you could kind of call it, from Ubisoft, which came out last year. Really, really enjoyed it. It's kind of one of those games where, like, you play the first one and then it's like a couple of years later a new one comes out and you have to kind of like find your footing again.
Yeah.
Because I'd struggled with it a bit at the start and sort of like it's a case of remembering like you have these hacking tools, you can use them as much as possible or as much as your meter allows you to do so.
Yeah.
So it's kind of about, you know, remembering to use those and not just relying on your gun and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And not trying to play it like a Call of Duty game basically.
Yeah.
That's been really, really good. I actually finished the side quests. I'm doing some of the other side quests as well because there's like a phone that you can pull up which has like these different apps and things, and the DedSec app which has most of the main missions in, and it has some side quests in. So I finished all that stuff in that phone apart from the online stuff, and then there's some other like bits and bobs around the map. So you know, like someone's enjoyed a game when they're doing all the little side quests.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I enjoyed it a lot. I thought it was great.
Oh, good.
And it's one of them games where like the more you unlock, the more you play it, the better you get, and it just becomes more and more fun. So
yeah, I may have to go back to that because I haven't bought the second one yet. I've got the first one, I think, and I enjoyed it, but ended up kind of dropping out halfway through. It was one of those I never went back to finish. So if the second one's come down a bit in price, I might see if I can pick that up on the PC somewhere.
Yeah, I think the first one was the Games with Gold this month or last month. I can't remember when, but it was recently. So that's the free game service on the Xbox. So yeah, I finished the story. The story ended really nicely. It ended in a way of like, you can finish this or you can come back to it kind of in terms of if there's a third one. And just in case people miss it, there's these missions called Operation Intels. Couldn't pinpoint which specific one, or they might be randomized, I don't know. But there's some big Easter eggs to the first game, so you might have to play a couple of those missions to find which one it is, but it is well worth doing, so I'll just point that out.
Okay.
I won't spoil what it is or anything, because it's quite a nice surprise.
Yeah.
So yeah, finished that, and that was really good. Last night I also finished season 5 of Orange is the New Black. I don't know if you listened last week and you said you were watching it. Did you finish it?
Yes, I have now got all the way through it. It is so binge watchable, that show. It was just episode after episode, and I really enjoyed it. What were your thoughts?
Really, really liked it. It could have done with the riot coming in, like the police coming in a bit earlier in the season, but of course that's like finale material, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a very, very different season, and season 6 is going to be even different, even more different because of what happened with the ending. I'm very interested in what is going to come up with that.
Yes.
I did actually watch a little theory sort of video on it after I'd finished. I searched around on YouTube and stuff. I don't know how spoilery we can get, but what do you think will happen in this 6th season? Because...
should probably say...
Spoilers.
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 What spoilers?
spoilers, just in case you haven't seen the end of Orange is the New Black, but it does end up with them all getting sent to various different prisons because of the riot, which I don't think is a huge spoiler, because you kind of, maybe it is, I don't know, but
it kind of is in a way, because there's characters that end up in like four different groups, kind of, like they're kind of the main big characters that are in the pool at the end, which we don't see what happens to them because of cliffhanger, obviously. There's some people that escape out of the prison, like the Chinese lady, I think.
She
just casually walks out the prison. She's like, see ya. So that was pretty funny. And then you had, you know, the I don't think they're sisters, but you know the two that were making videos, YouTube videos.
They're friends, and they get split up. Doggett had run off to was sort of cozying up on the couch with her boyfriend ish, I guess, the guard.
Yeah, kind of.
I don't know. It's going to be an interesting new season to see whether they end up hunting those people down, or whether there is any time jump in it, or whether we're picking up straight away. Because that was the interesting thing with this season, was the fact that it was done in such a short period. You know, it was played out over those few days, and it continued. It continued right after the other one ended, as well. So I quite really like that format. I thought it worked really well. It was very nice and contained and stuff. I think the last two seasons they've done a really solid job. It kind of dipped a bit on the season before that, but the last couple of, you know, this season just gone and the one before, I think, were really strong.
So it's just a question of, like, if you do have these prisoners going to all different places, and because it was two different prison buses, wasn't there?
Yeah.
And they were like kind of getting separated into those. So I wonder how you like cover all of that, unless you do just like, throughout the 13 episode season next year, you like split it up and show different people. But then, like, how do they all come back together? And they're probably, I don't think that they'll probably end up in the same prison again. It's kind of unlikely, unless Caputo pulls something, or I don't know. But
yeah, unless they can find some sort of legal, legitimate reason for pulling them all back together again. But that's going to be interesting to see what they do with that and how they end up pulling. Because, yeah, I mean, you could conceivably follow the different groups, like you say, at the different prisons. I think, you know, that's perfectly viable way of doing it. But you do sort of want to see them all back together in one group and interacting with each other. So, don't know. It's a bit like the last season of The Walking Dead, where they split everybody up.
Yeah, yeah. It was renewed for a bunch of seasons a couple of years ago, wasn't it? Was it up to season 7?
Yes, I think it was. It was renewed up to... Okay. It's renewed up to season 7. And it was 5 this year, so it's got at least another 2 more seasons in it.
Yeah, because they must have, like, if you do a big renewal like that, you must do, like, story plans and stuff.
You would have thought so, yeah.
Yeah, not just kind of wing it, so...
They must know where they're going, you would think, so...
But yeah, that's been really good. I've watched a couple more episodes of 13 Reasons Why.
Yes.
I don't know if I want to binge the show, because it's like, you know, it's a hard-hitting topic, and you know, each episode gives it a new reason, and I haven't tried to binge watch it or like watch 2 or 3. I don't know if it will suit with that, or if it will just be, do you get what I mean? If it will work in that way.
I mean, I kind of binge watched it in segments. So I did a kind of few episodes each, but some of them can be quite tough to watch. You know, so there are occasions where you kind of might not want to just jump straight onto the next one. You might want a bit of time to reflect on what just happened. So
give like a bit of a break and think about it a bit. Which is interesting, considering it's a new Netflix show. But I've watched the first 4 episodes, and then the 5th one's my next one. So yeah, I'm trying not to rush through it. So I don't know when I'll finish that. What else I've been doing? Playing some more Overwatch, of course. That's always a, you know, continuous game. I watched this film. I watched some of it last night, and then I decided to finish Orange is New Black. It's either called Nerve or Surge, and it's to do with the characters sign up for this like online game, and it's to do with like dares and things, and you know, they win like real money and stuff.
Okay.
It's a scripted show. It's not a reality TV show.
Yeah, yeah.
And like it sort of like builds up and builds up, and they do kind of more dangerous things. So I've seen the sort of first like 5 or 6 different things they get them to do, And they're not really that bad. I mean, it's things like kiss this guy in a restaurant and like the other guy gets his part of the game and it's like do a dance in the restaurant and then it's like go and try on this expensive dress and then leave the shop sort of thing. That's about where I got up to. So I don't know how quickly it might change with pace, like if the dares might all of a sudden get really, really quite dark.
Is it? Did you say?
Yeah, it's a film on Netflix.
Okay.
So I think it's called Nerve. So yeah, that's been really good as well. And that's about what I've been doing. So,
okay, cool. Yeah. Orange is the New Black has been one of the things that's been dominating kind of my TV watching recently. I did manage to get into the first episode of Orphan Black as well, which returned.
Oh yeah, I watched Orphan Black as well.
Yeah. Which I think is good. It's a solid return. I'm looking forward to seeing where that goes for the final season and who ends up surviving. I know there is, I think, a death coming up because I saw a headline, but I don't know who it is or what it is, but apparently it's quite gruesome. So, but that's as much as I know. Gaming wise, Skyrim is still being my main thing. I'm determined to finish a lot of Skyrim. So the main quest lines, at least. Even if I don't get all the side quests. I did hit a bug yesterday, which was kind of annoying, I ended up having to use the console commands on the PC to actually jump past it. But it was literally kind of game stopping. But the problem is I have got a lot of mods running, so I don't know whether that's a game issue or whether that was a mod issue. But anyway, I have got 70 odd mods running on it, so...
Okay. I don't know. How many can you have at a time?
As many as you want until it crashes the game. That's basically it.
Okay.
A lot of them are lighting mods and that sort of thing, you know, and high res textures and that stuff. But you can go a bit nuts with the mods. And the other thing which had been, obviously we talked, I think, a little bit last week about the passing of Adam West, but there's been some lovely little tributes pop up this week for Adam West. Mm-hmm. The mayor of LA arranged this ceremony which had all of Adam's friends and family there, where they basically shone the bat symbol up on City Hall, which was really cool.
And nice. I saw a photo of that. Yeah, it was like the older style bat signal.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. So it was very cool. It was the old 66 kind of one. Thought that was very cool. Also, the TV show Powerless, they released an unreleased episode of this online, which had Adam West as a guest star for the episode. So as a tribute to him, it was one that I hadn't aired in America. I mean, not that any of it's aired over here, but that it was one that hadn't been in America, but that is up on YouTube for a limited time if you want to go and see it. There's a link on the website if you want to go and have a look at that.
Do you think it will even come over here now? Because it seems to have really I was watching some Collider TV talk around the time it was cancelled, and they were like, oh, I didn't realise the show was like... nobody sort of seemed to notice that it got cancelled.
I don't see it coming to broadcast TV. I mean, it may do. It's one of those things that might end up on something like Spike or Vice.
Channel 5. They could do some material.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. Channel 5, not in anybody's good books at the moment due to Gotham, but still no sign to it. Yes.
That's it.
They are going to end up releasing Gotham at the same time the DVD comes out, I think.
What, weekly?
No, yeah, I think they'll put it out on TV weekly at the same, because the DVD's due out in August for Gotham.
See, they've kind of lost their viewership with that now, haven't they?
Yeah. I'm almost tempted to go and buy the DVD when that comes out just to spite them, you know? But I don't know what on earth they were thinking. It makes no sense at all.
Yeah, because I mean, I follow them on Facebook and stuff, you know, Channel 5, and they've not posted anything about it at all.
And they're not even getting back to people saying, oh, yeah, sorry, it's been delayed or whatever. And, you know, because there isn't a justifiable reason for it at this point. So,
because I looked through some of Channel 5's schedule and I'm like, yeah, you guys have a lot of space where you could have put this in.
Yeah, so there is a lot of rubbish on there. There is no reason for holding it back for so long.
Because not only have they got Big Brother, they got that chat show thing with it as well, haven't they? It takes up even more of their time.
Yeah, it could very well be a sign that they're not going to pick it up again next year.
Give it to somebody else.
Yeah, which at least releases it to for somebody else. So.
Hopefully. Who do you think might pick it up?
If it goes to some, I'm not sure about Sky. If It would fit on something like, I mean, obviously E4 will be quite good. Dave would be quite good. I mean, because they now aren't running Grimm, and it's a similar kind of vibe. I know it's a very different show, but it has a similar kind of dark kind of vibe to it, I think. So I think it would fit quite well on something like, it wasn't Dave, it was Watch, wasn't it? But it would fit quite well on Watch, I think. Or W, as they now call it. Stupid name for a channel. But there are a lot of places that it could go. And obviously Netflix and Amazon would be quite reasonable places for it. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see whether it does end up anywhere else. I can't believe that Five will go and pick it up again after how they've treated it this season.
So, I mean, I know you've got the whole Fear the Walking Dead on BT thing, but at least they're putting it on the air. You know what I mean?
That's just a case of it's an exclusive. You need our channel.
They're simulcasting that, aren't they?
Yeah, I think they are. So. Yeah, I think they're simulcasting it, and you know, it is coming onto Amazon Prime afterwards. Mm. So
it's not just being left completely.
No. Yeah, it's not a case of we bought it, but we're not showing it to you, which is what Channel 5 are doing, which is just insane. So. But anyway, that's enough of slagging off Channel 5. The other big thing, of course, that happened this week was E3, which I've been sort of slightly kind of keeping an eye on. I've been through and picked out a few things. I know you've been keeping a much closer eye on it. So we're going to go in and talk a little bit more about E3, I think, next. So E3 arrived ended. When did it end? Was it today? Is it today it ends?
Nintendo had Nintendo went last with their press conference on Tuesday, but then they had a couple more days of like live stuff on like Xbox Daily and things like that. So E3 was still continuing, but the last conference was on Tuesday, I think. With Nintendo.
Yeah. So yes, it's all kind of over and done with pretty much now. Big announcements. I guess the biggest announcement was the what the new Xbox was going to be. Which is called Xbox One X. Which is not a great name, I have to say.
No. Yeah, I mean, me and Robert on my podcast debated for quite a few weeks of like what it could be called and stuff like that. There was a few limited names because there was an Xbox One Elite, kind of. It was like it was called a hybrid, but its other name was Elite. You couldn't call it the Pro because it was the PS4 Pro. You couldn't call it the Slim because the S was kind of already the Slim, because the one that came out last year. So it was either going to be something silly like Xbox Infinity or Xbox Ultra or whatever. So I think X is okay of a name.
Yeah, kind of. I think there's, I don't know, looks like a palindrome now, but anyway. So there's that, and the other big announcement was the backwards compatibility, that because they already do backwards compatibility for 360, don't they? But they're now putting backwards compatibility for original Xbox games on there as well, which I thought was quite an interesting idea.
Yeah, because with the monthly games with gold that you get two Xbox One games and you get two 360 games, and the 360 games are backwards compatible from that point forward.
Right.
Like you can even go on your Xbox One and then you go on what they call the gold tab, and then you can download them from your Xbox and play them straight there. So it's a pretty good service.
Yeah, that's nice. It's good that they're adding that stuff in.
Yeah, I do wonder if they'll add original games to their games of gold, because with PlayStation Now they have two PlayStation 4 games, two PS3 games, two PS Vita games. So
I suspect they will. I think that's quite likely, because you know, if you've got a back catalogue, it's a great way of getting that stuff out there for not a lot of effort on their part, I guess. So that's quite good. Mm. So games wise, I mean,
want to talk about the price of the?
Go on, Candy.
Yeah, $500.
$500. We don't know what the UK price is going to be for it, but my guess is they don't seem to be doing kind of £500 to $500 now, but it could very well be. I certainly think it's probably going to end up being $450, I reckon.
At least,
I would have thought, at least. It seems pricey. You know, I mean, what's a standard Xbox console these days?
The original Xbox will probably, you'll maybe find it for about 200 or 180-ish, and then you'll find maybe the S at like 250-ish.
Yeah.
Around that price.
So, I mean, really, you want this to be, 350, 400 maybe.
Mm.
But I suspect it's going to be closer to 450. I mean, given that, that seems to be a lot higher than a lot of people were predicting it would be. So,
yeah, I was saying like 400 for a little while.
Yeah,
I think that's a good price. But yeah, when Phil Spencer was like at 499, there was a bit of like a silent, more of a silent cheer compared to some of the other stuff when that was announced. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay, I guess we are supposed to cheer.
Yeah,
but we don't want to. So yeah.
More a sort of, yeah, that seems a bit rich to me.
Yeah. So it's got like a vapor chamber cooling. It's got 6 teraflops. And then it's got some other bits and bobs as well in terms of like, I think it's 12 RAM gigabytes.
Right.
And then it has a couple of other things, but that's the main kind of specs that I remember.
Okay.
Apparently you get the vent chamber cooling with some PCs, but this is different in some kind of way.
Yeah, I saw somebody do a sort of, can you build an Xbox One spec? An Xbox One X spec, like PC, for the same sort of price.
PC, yeah.
Yeah, I think they didn't quite manage to get it as close. I think it ended up being 650, something like that, was about as close as they could get. You know, $650. So, you know, it seems like a fairly reasonable deal, I guess. But but yeah. Is there anything else on the Xbox One?
No, that's it for the console that I remember.
Okay.
So yeah.
In terms of games, I mean, I went through
that's important for such an expensive console.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to buy something like this, you need the content to play on it.
Yeah, so. I mean, the big thing has been, it's 4K, isn't it? It does genuine 4K. So that's been the kind of big thing for it. So there's a lot of the games that they've been looking at are kind of 4K compatible. And then I'm assuming will be resed down in some ways for you know, mere mortals with normal Xboxes.
Mortals. Yeah. Oh yeah, the other thing I forgot to mention, they said that if you've only got a, you know, 1080p HD screen, it will do some kind of super sampling.
Right, okay.
To like push it further, I guess, without, because if you don't have a 4K TV, because of course that will cost more money. So
yeah,
that was the other thing as well.
One thing I did see a number of thing screenshots of was Minecraft running in 4K, which you would think he's kind of a bit pointless, but they've really done some nice work on resing up Minecraft, so it looks quite a lot less blocky. I mean, it's still Minecraft and it's still blocky, but it looks like an almost completely different game. It looks like Minecraft kind of 2.0, you know, when you see it with the high res textures on it. It's quite cool.
Yeah, because with a game like that, you can up-res things, but only to a certain degree, because you do have the style in there. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I did see a screenshot as well, and it doesn't look that much different, but it does look different. So
yeah, yeah. I thought it was kind of interesting that I thought they did an interesting job. There was another game that I spotted, which is called The Last Night, which was this sort of cyberpunk Xbox exclusive, which is running in 4K, but it's done in the kind of, you know, LucasArts 16-bit like Monkey Island aesthetic, so it's that kind of, you know, pixely, yeah, that kind of pixely, you know, Monkey Island sort of LucasArts style point and click adventure look to it, but it's done in a like 4K cyberpunk. It's actually a sort of cyberpunk based game, but it's done in kind of 4K style. It looks incredible. I mean, you know, it's very much gone for that 16-bit look, but with this incredible cinematic style to it. The closest I can think of is there was a point-and-click adventure version of a game called of Blade Runner based around the original movie that came out, you know, way, way back in the day, which also had a very cinematic style to it. This is about the closest I've seen to something like that. But running on Xbox as that sort of adventure game in that kind of style, I thought very interesting idea for a game that. Really intrigued by that, but yeah, and using the 4K technology as well, which is really interesting. So there was that. But I mean, in terms of big game announcements, BioWare announced Anthem, which is this huge RPG shared world thing where you play as a freelancer who are these soldiers that leave this sort of home and venture out into these dangerous wilds to ensure the safety of the planet. It's kind of BioWare's version of Destiny, as far as I can tell. That seems to be what they're saying.
Yeah, I had a lot of people saying that.
I don't know whether they announced much more about it other than that and a like little trailer. I don't know whether you know any more about it than that.
And they showed some gameplay at Microsoft's stage. It was about a couple of minutes long. And after that footage had been shown, a lot of people like, where did the like work go from Mass Effect kind of thing? Because this seems to be a little bit along the lines of one of those kind of games. Like it had like that space exploration kind of thing.
Right.
With a little bit of like seemingly maybe like co-op sort of thing. So yeah, it looks very like Mass Effect-esque. And a lot of people are like, you know, is this where some of the energy went from Mass Effect? If so, why did that happen?
Yeah, I mean, see, a lot of people lay into Mass Effect, and I really enjoyed that game. I thought it was perfectly fine as it is. You know, I thought it was a really good, fun game to play. So, but a lot of people are upset about it for whatever reason, and I don't entirely get why. But I'm always happy to have new stuff from BioWare because I love most of BioWare's things. Yep. So, you know, yeah, I'm not sure about the whole shared world thing, but anyway.
I mean, in terms of Mass Effect, I enjoyed the game. I did think it was really, really good. I could see some areas of improvement, but I wouldn't like slate the game for being terrible or anything like that. So, and who knows, this was probably a different studio. I don't know, a different, because you have BioWare, but they have different teams within that studio.
It's like BioWare East and BioWare West, and I'm not sure exactly what they're called, but there's BioWare Austin and there's BioWare whatever, and yeah, so there are different setups for BioWare. So although it's under one brand, you're probably right, it's probably a completely different team that worked on it. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see it. I mean, I like Destiny. It didn't quite have enough story for me.
I wasn't really into the whole like getting the crates and grinding over and over and over and over again.
It was one heck of a grind and not enough story. So I'm hoping with BioWare doing a similar sort of thing, it will be that, but with a lot more story to it. That would be nice.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
I mean, if you compare Destiny and Overwatch, which they both have loot crates, but with Destiny, it's like this crate will give you a better weapon, whereas in Overwatch, the characters are like buffed or nerfed depending on what the Cali community feels, and you can't sort of get a better gun, a better version of Soldier's gun. Everybody has the same version.
Right.
But with Overwatch, it's just like skins and emotes and intros and all that sort of thing. So
yeah,
you still have to grind a bit to get those boxes, but they do different things. So
what was sort of the big game, what was the next thing you kind of spotted?
If I'm to pick something from Xbox, there was Ori and the Will of the Wisps. I really liked the first Ori and the Blind Forest, so this would be the sequel, the next game. It could be a prequel, who knows, but there was no release date for that, but I'm really excited for that, because that was really, really good last time. It was one of them games where people like, you should play this, it's really good, and you're like, but is it? And then if I was like, yeah, play it, it's really good, be like, but is it really? And then you play it, it's like, yeah, it is really good. So,
okay.
Yeah, well, but that's a good thing all the time. So if that happens. Did you play the first one of those?
No, I haven't. Again, it was one of those things that I've seen around and kind of not landed on yet. Mm. So
too long, and it's not too short either. It's just sort of a good length, I would say. So
yeah. Okay.
You're not going to be like doing a Witcher with that, or like having a quick Call of Duty campaign. Yeah. It was good length. So
I'm going to have a look at that. Skyrim, I noticed, has
Skyrim is now on everything.
So. Yeah, yeah. Somebody was making jokes about the fact that they'll be making Skyrim for the, you know, the 30th anniversary of the Xbox One. You know, but.
I mean, we've been knowing this coming for a long, long time, but because it was one of the games shown in the original Switch trailer, but we didn't know when it was coming or what it was going to be like. So,
coming to the Nintendo Switch, interestingly, also coming to the PSVR as well for PlayStation, which, I mean, makes perfect sense because it's the perfect game for doing VR.
First-person exploration and whatnot. So.
And they're doing Fallout for that as well, I believe. Yeah. They're doing Fallout 4.
Doom as well.
And Doom,
Which, you know, all that blah to go all over you and stuff, that's going to be interesting. That's quite like a chaotic game, so.
But what I quite like about the Nintendo Switch version is you're getting, you know, you can run along and use the controllers to, you know, like you can with most Nintendo things, to pull bows back and stuff.
Mm, yeah, like the motion control.
Yeah, things. Like the motion control. So I rather like that. I think that's quite cool. And you can use the sword and the shield, and you know, so you can fight like that with it. So I think it could work really, really well on a Switch. I think it's a really interesting port. And they've also got skins that you can download that turn him into Link as well.
Yeah, it was shown on, was that Nintendo stage? I think it was shown.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I saw it on a trailer somewhere. So I think, although it is quite funny that they're just using that to recycle that game as much as humanly possible, but at the end of the day, I think it is a good platform for it. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it widens your like market if you put it on as many things as you can. So nobody's like, I can't get that. I haven't got the console for it. So
yeah.
I don't know if it's on something like a Wii U, but you know,
yeah,
it's got a Nintendo place now. So
yeah.
That's kind of what matters with that. Shall I go through some of the other games that I wrote down?
Go on.
There was Super Lucky's Tale, which was one of the Xbox games. I think they said that's an exclusive. They basically said everything was an exclusive, but some of them like timed or console exclusives.
Right, okay, yeah.
So, you know, there is some messaging that they're not telling people, but they want you to kind of, you know, exclusive is the word they want you to hear. So
yes.
And that's like a, is it Tales from Sonic? You do some like platforming and stuff. So that looked really good. There was State of Decay 2, which was like their kind of arcadey zombie game.
Yes.
Not along the lines of like a Days Gone or a Last of Us, but a bit more of like an arcadey settlement building kind of thing.
I really like State of Decay 1. It's just a bit clunky. It sort of works, but you just feel it needs a bit more of a polish over it on the original State of Decay. So I'm hoping that State of Decay 2 is a bit smoother, you know. That would be nice. But I'm quite looking forward to that. I think that could be quite good.
Yeah, I think the studio work on it is a little smaller. So I think it was an arcade title, the first one. I think it was. It did have some like frame rate stuff. Sometimes it was funny, sometimes it wasn't. But it was a great game, the first one. Another one that was shown at Ubisoft as well, the new Assassin's Creed.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I saw there was a new Assassin's Creed coming. I mean, they'll milk that franchise for all they've worth.
It did skip last year because they wanted to, you know, they got too much sort of bad feedback, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, we're going to take 2016 off and just come back later and sort of do a better game. So I'm glad they did that because hopefully this one will be better. So
yeah, this is Origins, isn't it? Assassin's Creed Origins. So that's Windows, PlayStation and Xbox that's coming out on. But
October 27th,
October 27th. I mean, that could be kind of interesting. And they've been very up and down, those Assassin's Creed games. So, we'll see. I think it's very difficult to beat Black Flag. I thought Black Flag was great, you know?
Yeah.
Just the boat stuff was amazing.
The pirate sort of game they did. You had things like Cuphead, Sea of Thieves, which have been kind of out there for a little while. Not out there, but been shown off for a little while. For quite a few years. Do you like either of those ones?
Which ones were those, sorry?
Cuphead and Sea of Thieves.
I don't know Cuphead. What was Cuphead?
Cuphead's the like hand-drawn...
Oh, yes. Yes, I've seen bits of that. Yeah, I'm really interested in Cuphead, actually. That looks fascinating because it's kind of an early... The sort of early 1930s cartoon style thing. Yeah, really, really interesting that. What was the other one you asked?
Sea of Thieves, the sort of arcadey
this is the arcadey kind of pirate game where you all take a different position on the ship. Is that the one? The teammate one?
Yeah.
It's a really interesting idea. I mean, some of the problems I have with some of the games that are being released, because there's this and A Way Out as well, where the only way you can play them is in co-op. So you've got to, not so much maybe with Sea of Thieves, but certainly with A Way Out, it's like you've got to have a group of friends that you're always going to be available to play with. And when you get to my sort of age and people have children and trying to get anybody near, like at a set time to be able to get together and actually play this sort of stuff is quite difficult.
Stop for a reason or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and it can be quite difficult to get people together. So I've become a much more antisocial gamer as I've grown up, you know. I mean, it's an interesting idea. I really like the idea of being able to take the different positions on the boat, but I don't know how much you'll be able to play it.
I know A Way Out was, they said, was co-op only. I don't know if Sea of Thieves is, but it's definitely going to be better in co-op.
Yeah, I suspect it probably is. I can't see, because that's sort of the point of the game, isn't it? Or one of the major points of the game. But with, A Way Out basically is Prison Break, the video game, pretty much. It's two people that are, anyway. It's basically two people that are stuck in a prison together and decide to break out together. But it's story driven in a kind of GTA or, you know, Uncharted kind of way. But it's entirely co-op, either on split screen or I think you can do it remotely as well. But yeah, fascinating sort of idea. Of because you can only do it in co-op.
Yeah, I might do a stream with that with Robert or something.
Yeah,
and kind of see how that goes.
Yeah, I mean,
this is like a streamer's kind of, these two games, A Way Out and Sea of Thieves, are kind of streamer games, aren't they? So
yeah, I think so.
I mean, with you know, the new streaming service Mixer that Xbox have got,
they called it
Beam, and they released it, and then they renamed it to Mixer. That has a way that you can have four different people streaming, but have them on the same screen, in the same stream. So like, if you had a team of four people, your viewers could watch all of you at the same time. So,
right. Okay.
And not have to switch between you. So yeah, these games are kind of would be suitable for that as well. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, they do seem like they're games that are almost just designed for people to stream more than anything else. I mean, really. But yeah, I mean, it looks interesting, A Way Out. I'm just, as I say, for somebody like me, I would love to play that game, but it means that I've got to organize with somebody else to be there. And yeah, because you're not really going to want to do that sort of game as a random pickup, I don't think. Because it's such a kind of close story-driven game that, I don't know, it looks interesting, but I'm not entirely convinced that it's not something I'll necessarily go out and buy, because I'm not going to get that much use out of it. So,
but with Cuphead, this is the single player. Like I said, I think somebody said it's entirely hand drawn, which
it certainly looks like it.
That'd be quite an effort, but because that game has been in development for a couple of years now. Some people have said like it's like really, really hard. Like it's kind of excruciatingly difficult. I still see what that's like as well. That's coming out pretty soon. That's the 29th of September. Cuphead, so that's pretty soon. Sea of Thieves was given early 2018, so still a bit of a wait for that, unfortunately. But you know, as long as these companies keep showing the games and giving release windows, you know that the game isn't in too much trouble. So
yeah. So there was another, because we were talking about the Sea of Thieves. There's another multiplayer pirate game coming out. I think it's actually from Ubisoft, called Skull and Bones, which is basically, from everything we've seen of it, looks very much like it's a multiplayer version of Black Flag. I mean, that seems to be what it is, which is fine, and I'm sure it'll be great fun. It's fairly early in development, as far as I could tell. But as I say, Black Flag's one of the better Assassin's Creed games, so I don't see any reason why you shouldn't just take it and turn it into a multiplayer pirate game, other than the fact that there is another multiplayer pirate game coming out as well. So,
competition. Gotta do what you gotta do. That was kind of interesting. There was a Kraken at the end, I think, of that gameplay trailer, or that the trailer they showed for that.
Right, okay, yeah.
Or something that got out of the water and took one of the ships down. Right. So, and then the crowd was like, whoa, what's that kind of thing? That was pretty funny. It looks, I don't know if it was the Kraken, but it's some kind of monster. So
yeah,
that looks interesting as well.
There's a new Spider-Man game coming out. Is this a PS4 exclusive or timed exclusive?
It is. Yeah, it's a PS4 exclusive. It's not coming to anything else. Because when it was strange, because when that game was first announced, everyone was like, oh, this won't be a PS4 exclusive. That's just some silly rumors. Of course, it'll come to the other consoles. And Sony was like, no, this is, we have this. Which makes sense, because they got the films and stuff, so obviously it's the same company.
Makes sense.
So they would be able to make that. So that looked really, really good as well.
It did. Yeah. It looked like somebody had been watching Arkham Origins or the Arkham games and just taken notes for the way he was kind of moving around it's got some original stuff in there as well, but there was a hint of Batman. The Batman Arkham Origin games in there for the you know, the various Arkham games in there, I think, which is no bad thing because do that really, really well. But yeah, looked really good. I thought that was nicely put together. Some of the moves that they were stringing together to throw the people around with the webbing and stuff, I thought worked really, really well. So I thought that looks great. And yeah, interesting that Sony is sticking to their guns and making that PS4 exclusive. I just hope it's really good because the Spider-Man games have been very, very up and down. So
there's been some really good ones and some really bad ones. So this one looks like it'll be pretty good though. Did you notice at the end of that gameplay trailer, there was a guy who took a photo of Spider-Man and then somebody else said, come with me, Miles. And a lot of people are thinking that's Miles Morales, which is interesting to me because I'm aware of the character and that he has his own version of Spider-Man. But I couldn't recall them being in the same like story at all, Peter and Miles. So
I think they have been, but I don't know my Marvel Spider-Man stuff well enough to be able to conclusively say that whether that's true or not. But that is kind of interesting to see what they're doing with that. But I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully that's good. I like a good superhero game.
Yeah. When I was watching the actual gameplay bit that they showed, and then he was doing all these different things, I was like, yeah, there's some skill trees in here that we're going to have to unlock. So yes, that's going to be fun.
Definitely.
Which is common for those kind of games, you know, things like Watch Dogs, Horizon Zero Dawn, Batman, Spider-Man game.
Yeah. So
they're quite fun, those skill trees. Give you something to work towards and whatnot.
There was this other little thing, which is Fortnite, which popped up as well, which was it's kind of a zombie cutesy building game. It's sort of part zombie game, part Minecraft, I guess. I don't know if you've seen anything of this.
Fortnite? No, I didn't. I have to write them down.
It's from Epic Games. It's Windows, Mac, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One it's running on, apparently. Describe a mix between Minecraft and Left 4 Dead. It's sort of very cutesy kind of graphics, and it's got zombies that sort of run towards you, and you've got to use various stuff to build up a big base to try and fend off the this sort of zombie influx. Apparently there is a player versus player mode as well in it. So it looks like it could be kind of interesting as a group game. Certainly could be quite good fun. It's a co-op sandboxed survival game, I think could be kind of interesting. And it's exploration and scavenging for stuff, and then kind of building these big fortified bases, and then the zombies attacking and trying to knock them down. So
that was shown at Digital Developer. That might have been.
Could have been,
the case. Because that was one of the ones I didn't see. Yeah, cause I thought you were talking about Days Gone, which was the Sony zombie game. Exclusive. Did you see that one?
No, I've not seen that one.
That's one of the games they didn't give a date for, and everyone was like, what's usually you give like a release window like late 2017 or early 2018 or whatever, but they just didn't say anything. But the game looks really good. It looks sort of like a bit of a mix between sort of Last of Us and Uncharted, that type of gameplay. I hope that's going to be good as well, but unfortunately we don't know when it's coming out. So
Fortnite apparently is going to be a free-to-play game on all those platforms, so that could be one to watch out for. Uncharted, which you just mentioned there, they've got this kind of mini Uncharted game called The Lost Legacy coming out as well. Did you see much of that?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. That's coming out soon as well. It's the 22nd of August. It's based around Nadine and Chloe, I think it is.
Yeah.
Who were two of the other, I guess, side characters. Chloe was a bit of a side character in Uncharted 2 or 3.
Yeah.
And then Nadine was one of the villains in 4. I don't know when this takes place, but I'm looking forward to that as well, because you know it looks like good old Uncharted, but just with different characters, which is fine. We could do a bit of a break from Nathan, I guess, because you know you can still spin it off and make other games and stuff. So I think that's going to be very, very good.
It looks good to me.
And it's not a DLC for Uncharted 4. It's actually its own game. So
Yeah. And then there was Vampire as well, which was the other thing I spotted, which looked kind of interesting, where you play a sort of vampire and it looks like it's set in 1920s environment inside a hospital where vampires are sort of living alongside humans. Kind of looked quite intriguing. It's some form of RPG, which I quite like the look at. of. I don't know what you saw of that.
Who stage was that one on?
Not sure. It's
it was like a vampire game that was shown on the Microsoft stage, but it doesn't sound like the one that you're talking about.
Plot evolves around a vampire doctor called Jonathan Reed, torn between his Hippocratic Oath and his newfound bloodthirsty nature, according to the Wikipedia entry. But yeah, okay. I'm not sure whose stage that was shown on, but it's coming to Windows and PlayStation 4 and Xbox as well. So yeah, looked like it could be quite interesting. I like sort of action role play games. So that looked like it could be quite good. Anything else particularly?
Did you see the ridiculous Final Fantasy VR game?
No,
it looks terrible. I mean. I want to speak to like a diehard Final Fantasy fan and be like, look, please tell me you think this game looks bad, because it does. You wouldn't associate fishing with Final Fantasy, really, would you? but that's one of the things you do in the game. And graphically, I know VR games aren't going to be like really good 4K looking games, but it does look pretty bad from what I saw. So yeah, I didn't think that looked very good. There's things like the other two games I wrote down from Sony were God of War and Detroit. Did you see the God of War gameplay?
I didn't see that.
And it's really good as well. You're basically playing as like an older Kratos. He's got a son, and his son can like speak to some of the monsters you come across. There's this monster that the player comes across at the end, and he like says something, and then Kratos said like, what does he say? And he's like, he wants to help us. So
right,
yeah, there's some sort of mystery to that as well. Did you see the Detroit stuff?
No, I didn't see any of that.
That's kind of like a these sort of cyber kind of robot things, all these sort of cyber people, and they're kind of like rebelling against humans and stuff, because they like, I guess, want all these different demands and whatnot. I don't know too much about what the demands are, because you know, I guess we'll see some more of that in the game. It's got kind of, you know, like Heavy Rain and Beyond Two Souls, those kind of quick time mechanics and stuff. It looks like it has that. Yeah. And then there's some like choice driven stuff where a gameplay they showed last year had you like, there was this guy that took a little girl hostage, and he was like this, the same type of thing as him, is one of the Detroit things. But he'd gone like bad, and he'd said like, we need a mind of our own and that sort of thing. And you can have like all these different branching stories and stuff. So it goes along that sort of gameplay as well.
Yeah.
So I thought that looked good. What I picked out from Sony, there was some more of the South Park that were shown.
Oh, right. Yes. That is a game I'm really looking forward to.
Mm. Yeah.
It's been delayed and delayed and delayed, but yes, I am very much looking forward to that.
I wasn't really that into it in the past, the South Park game, but this newest like gameplay thing has kind of turned me around to wanting to play it. I don't know what it was. It was just sort of, when you take the superhero genre, there are some things to make fun of and some things you can like point out. So this looks like it's going to go along with that sort of thing. Like, you know, your franchise sucks and this and that. And,
yeah.
You know, you're in phase three and we're in phase one and that sort of thing. And,
have you not played the first South Park game?
No.
You have to play it. It's hilarious.
The reason I'm more interested in this one is because of the superhero jokes towards it, because I'm not much of a South Park fan myself.
No, but the first one does exactly the same thing, but with fantasy rather than superhero. So it you know, because they're all kind of, you know, it's all mocking kind of fantasy stuff. So it's worth going to play that. And it is really, really funny. And I thoroughly enjoyed the first game. I mean, I like that South Park, but I don't watch it religiously or anything. I probably haven't seen a new episode of it for years.
But I
still really enjoyed the game. I thought it was fabulous, and the first one and the second one I think is going to be equally brilliant. Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to that.
Did you see the Transference? It's Elijah Wood apparently went off with Ubisoft and did some work with this company, which I didn't know anything about until this E3. And he's working on this weird like VR game.
No, okay. Don't know anything about that one.
Yeah, it's sort of, I got a bit of a description. It says, a few people went slightly meta as they introduced Transference, a VR game that we don't know much about other than it's weird and it's in VR. It's
right, okay. Psychological thriller, it's described as, yeah. Mm. Okay.
Yeah, the trailer didn't, I guess because of the sake of mystery, but the trailer didn't show like what the game was really like about or anything, or what you'll be doing. But yeah, I just thought it was interesting that Elijah Wood was attached to this.
Yeah.
Because I see him more of an actor than like a person working with his game studio. But
And it's Ubisoft and Spectrovision, which is his own development company, which is intriguing. So well, good luck to him. That's going to be kind of interesting.
Yeah. One other thing from Ubisoft, some more Far Cry was shown. I don't know if you're interested in this. Far Cry.
I have to say, I've never been a huge fan of the Far Cry games. I don't know, just don't connect with me for whatever reason. I don't know why. Not a massive fan of them, so I haven't really been playing a huge amount of attention. I saw a screenshot of it, which was a guy sat at a table or something. Remember?
Yeah, I think that was the game cover.
Yeah,
cover,
yeah.
And it was the Last Supper thing, you know, with Jesus that has them all around the table. It's a little bit like that. Yeah, I played the second Far Cry, finished that, played some of the third, some of the fourth. They didn't really quite grab me. Then they came up with Far Cry Primal, which was the sort of, you know, went back in the Stone Age sort of thing. And that just really didn't grab me. I wasn't into any of that sort of weaponry or anything. But this is like, you're facing off against this bad cult. And, you know, a lot of people are saying like, you know, some people have problems with this and stuff, and I'm sort of like, but if there's, you know, if you're in a game, if there's a crazy cult and they're coming after you and they're trying to kill you, what options do you have other than to kill them yourselves, really? there's going to, you know, when it comes to religion and cults and whatnot, people are going to be complaining and stuff. But you know, if they're taking hostages and whatnot, I want to, you know, help those hostages out and kill the crazy people. So
I don't know. We'll see. They're five games in and they've yet to grab me with any of them. So we'll see. But again, it's another one of those things they'll milk until they can't milk it anymore. Yeah. So anything else?
This one last one from Ubisoft as well. I noticed you got it written down, Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Oh, yes. We skipped over that. This I'm very, very much looking forward to because I adored the first game of that. It's very difficult to tell because I've not seen any gameplay footage. I've only seen a trailer for it. Did they show any gameplay?
No, they just showed a CG trailer sort of thing for it. Yeah, so they didn't show any gameplay for it. But it looks pretty crazy. They did have the first one backwards compatible. I think it was one of the games with gold a little while back, the first Beyond Good and Evil, which was on the 360. And they were like, we've been working on this for like 15 years or something. And I was like, wow. Talk about, you know, not making your fans wait, but waiting for a game to come out, I guess. So.
Yeah. I mean, I adored the first game. It was absolutely brilliant. The trailer for the second game is just immense. It really is one of the most beautiful things I've seen in a very long time. As a game trailer, I thought it was superb. The only problem with that is it probably is never going to live up to the hype of that that trailer.
It's not going to look that beautiful. With CG trailers, is that's not what the game's actually going to look like.
No, it's not in the slightest. But I if it looks even close to that, I will be amazed. But it looks fantastic in that trailer. I thought the you know, cinematic was just brilliantly done.
I mean, there are some games like Uncharted's a recent example of a game that looks the same in the cutscenes as it does in the gameplay, and it doesn't have like loading transitions. It just, you know, the camera switches around to the back and then you just play. In terms of watching trailers for games that are going to look similar, I would say like, if you're watching like cutscene trailers rather than CG trailers, the cutscene ones are what the game might actually look like, because a CG trailer is going to be a lot different. So that's about it. Did you have anything for Nintendo?
I think we've covered pretty much most things, haven't we? So I think those, any particular one game you're looking forward to the most out of that?
Anthem does look really good, and Assassin's Creed as well. I think those will be the next two kind of, if you're talking about big open world games, those are the next kind of two, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I think Anthem I'm interested in just to see what it's like. Beyond Good and Evil.
And see how Mass Effect like it is and how Destiny like it is. Yeah. So that
I'm quite looking forward to. Beyond Good and Evil I'm definitely looking forward to because I thought that was great. And as I mentioned earlier, The Last Knight I think just looks intriguing from that sort of the 16-bit aesthetic in the sort of 4K. Just looks really good. Go and look up a trailer for that if you've not seen it. It's very interesting.
In terms of Beyond Good and Evil, I will have to play the first one to actually see what all the fuss is about, because there was quite the cheer when the trailer came on for that, so that's got quite a big following. So I'll have to play the first one and see what that's all about.
Yes, definitely. I mean, it's an older game now, but still worth playing, I think. So I mean, that's our coverage of E3 for this year. We'll keep you updated.
Lots of games and one pricey console.
Yeah, so. Lots and lots of interesting new games. I know, very pricey console coming, but we'll see how things pan out. Hopefully some of them will end up being delayed and won't show up on time, and that'll be the usual thing, but hopefully we'll see them soon.
I think the ones that are coming out from now until the end of the year that actually have dates, so things like Cuphead and Assassin's Creed will probably come out on those dates, and things like Uncharted. If something is like late 2017 or early 2018, chance that those games might not come out at that time. So yeah,
that will move. That's our coverage for E3 this year. Next up, we've got a couple of little bits of film and TV news.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Couple of quick bits of film and TV news this week. A couple of cancellations and renewals. Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt has got renewed for his fourth season.
I tried the first 3-4 episodes and it was good, and I probably need to... It's one of those shows that, like, I'll probably like you if I give you another chance kind of thing. But there was something that's just a bit off of it, I guess.
I did exactly the same thing. I want to go back to it and watch the rest of it. It's just there's other things that got in the way. And it's that old problem of, well, it's a Netflix original series, so it's not going to be taken off Netflix. So I can leave it and then watch it at some point in the future when I've got nothing else to watch. So there's too many other things that are kind of come on and may go away.
Yeah, it probably came at quite a busy time when I was just it drifted away.
But it was good. So I'm glad it's got full season.
Yeah.
Glad it's got full season. And there was, after we spoke about American Crime Story last week, literally the next day, they then came out and announced that... they've switched Versace and Katrina around. So Versace is now going to be season 2 and Katrina is now going to be season 3. Yeah, I mean, they were both being... Basically, they were shooting the Versace murder first and then doing the Katrina afterwards, but they were going to air them the other way around. They've now changed their mind on that because Katrina's got delayed again in terms of the shooting. They're not actually shooting until the start of next year, so they're going to put Versace on early next year and then Katrina later next year. That's American Crime Story. The only other bit of kind of big news that we got last week, it wasn't a big news week last week, John Wick is getting a TV series, and they've given it a title called The Continental. Have you seen any of the John Wick movies?
I have seen the first one. I did quite like it. I haven't seen the second one yet.
I have to admit, I haven't watched either of them for no reason other than I haven't got round to it.
Haven't pressed play, basically.
I really like Keanu Reeves, and everybody says these movies are really good fun, so I do want to go and see them. It's called The Continental because apparently that's the name given to the chain of hotels that work as neutral ground for the various hitmen and assassins that they deal with. It's going to be a little bit different to something like Taken or SWAT, where they've completely recast people. They're not recasting John Wick. John Wick won't be the focus of the TV show. It's going the kind of greater pool of assassins and hitmen are the focus of it. Hence, that's why they're calling it The Continental, because it's based around that hotel chain.
I see what you mean. Okay.
So that does also mean that you could potentially have Keanu Reeves show up at some point in the show.
Cameo bits and bobs.
Do little bits of cameos. And it's got the directors and the guy that is behind the TV show as well. So, I think that's a really interesting idea. And I think it could work quite well. It's a bit like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. being a spin-off of the Marvel movies, So it will be an extension of that universe, not... a replacement or recasting or anything. So I rather like that.
See, the interesting thing with spin-offs is that even if whatever particular spin-off fails, it doesn't mean it's going to affect the original main product.
Exactly.
So,
like
when you remake or reboot things, then you go into the potential of like ruining that. But when you have, because you know, spin-offs you can treat as spin-offs. Like when you have the Arrowverse shows, you do only have to kind of watch one of them. But then, you know, with the crossovers, you watch the other bits.
No, it's very true. I think they are starting to learn that a bit as well in TV, that, you know, you've got to be kind of careful with what you're doing. And but I think this is a great idea. It sounds like a really interesting setup, the idea of having these hotels being the kind of basis for this sort of hitmans and assassins and following some new characters in that. I think, I really like this. I think it could be great.
Who's got this? Or hasn't it been
It hasn't been picked up yet. It's still in development. So, I mean, it may not go to a full series, but we'll see. It's got potential though, and it sounds like they're pushing forward with it, so I think it will probably go somewhere, but we'll wait and see right now. So that's all we've got for the TV and film news this week. Because of the E3 coverage, we're running a bit long this week, so I'm not going to have an interview. We're going to go straight on to TV recommendations for next week. So highlights for next week on TV. There's not a lot coming back, but there are a couple of really interesting things on the list. First of all, The Crystal Maze is back for a brand new season. That's on the 23rd of June at 9 p.m. Richard Ayoade taking over as host. This, from the preview stuff that people seem to have seen, this seems to be getting a fairly positive reaction from people. I know it's kind of a game show, but I do really like it. I think it's really good fun. It was fun when they brought it back. I'm quite interested to see what they've done with this new set now, because when they brought it back for that special that Stephen Merchant did, they were using the Crystal Maze Experience set, and now for this they've actually built a brand new custom set in Bristol, I think it is, that they've done that. So I'm looking forward to seeing what the new set's like and how that goes together.
I will put it on my DVR thing. I don't know when I will watch it, but I'll certainly save it and watch it at some point. So
I'm looking forward to that back. And I think Richard Ayoade is exactly the right person to be hosting it as well.
Did you ever see his gadget show thing he did?
I didn't know. I wanted to watch it, but I didn't see it.
They did a couple of seasons, and then they did some other bits and bobs with it. It was pretty short, and it was about half an hour, but I thought that was pretty good as well. It's probably on all four if you want to
watch
it.
Probably is. I should go back and have a look. Also coming back for its fourth season, we've got Power, which is coming to Netflix on the 26th of June. That's the series from 50 Cent about a drug lord who runs a nightclub. I've not seen any episodes of that, so I don't know if it's any good, but apparently it's quite popular. And
I like that you've got 50 Cent about 30p. Yes. Down,
you can tell Andrew wrote the description for that. So moving on from that, we've got Preacher, which is back for its second season on the 26th of June.
I didn't know this was back so soon.
Yeah.
Well, not soon, but at this point of the year.
Yes. I'm really looking forward to this being back. First season was nuts and wonderfully bonkers, and it comes just on the end of American Gods finishing as well, which is a very similar feel of show, and coming to Amazon Prime as well. So yes, it's a good time to go and get Amazon Prime if you've not got a Amazon Prime subscription already. But stars Dominic Cooper as Jesse Custer, and it's just bonkers, nuts, wonderfully brilliant. This season has them on their kind of road trip, with the three of them on the road trip. So this looks like it could be quite good.
Yeah, I've heard the second season actually starts where the comic starts, because I heard that the first season was actually a prequel to the comics.
Okay.
Because I was listening to a couple of... you remember Ben from AfterBuzz? He does the after show for Preacher and a bunch of other different shows. And throughout the first season of their after shows, they kept saying, like, when's the comic story going to start? they were a bit like, you know, when's it going to start? But then they realized that the first season was a prequel. So, it would be an AMC comic book show then, wouldn't it?
So
go and read the comics if you're interested as well. Have you read them yourself?
I haven't, no, but I know people quite like them. So, that's kind of interesting. I got the feeling, like you say, you're right, that this is more focused on what the comic is. So, but I love the first season of it. I'm looking forward to this coming back. So Preacher Season 2, Amazon Prime, 26th of June. So that's everything for this week, unless you've got anything else you want to add in, but we'll be going for a while.
No, so. There's some good games coming up and coming out. So pick a console with exclusives that you want and that you like. So
yes. definitely.
It doesn't matter which one it is. Go and enjoy some games and some TV.
Yes. Okay. So if you want to find out more information about the upcoming TV shows, you can visit our website at geektown.co.uk. If you want to hear more podcast stuff, you can find Matt over on entertainmenttalk.org. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email your questions and comments to podcast@geektown.co.uk. You can leave a message on the website post. You can find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, and on Instagram at geektownuk. That's everything, which you'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.